grant peace to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody will chat with you in the Zoom room. Anybody in the first 30? You want to say your name?
Hi, Stephen.
Welcome. Welcome. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we will be discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel. We have Iran and Amy. And
I'm going first.
You're going first? Okay, that's what I was about to say. I will read the first paragraph. It's going to be on page 84, and then Amy is going to kick it off, and then each of our panel will share for a few minutes on the reading. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Mm. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Amy.
All right. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy.
Hey.
My sobriety date is May 9th, 1994. This is my home group, Simple Actions. I have a service position here. I'm the speaker seeker. So if you see me coming, that's probably what it's about to happen.
Nice.
So interesting that the paragraph has the word continue over and over and over again. And what that tells me is that I still have this. I'm way out from behind the bottle by the time I'm at step 10, but I still have the bondage of self. I still have an illness that makes me do tragic and incomprehensible things. And not because I'm loaded, but because I'm driven by 100 forms of fears. And underneath all of my fear are the fixed and flawed ideas. I want to tell you that it's your fault, and my resentments will say that it's your fault. But what's underneath all of that is the fear that I'm not worthy of better, or the fear that the God of my understanding is not big enough to make use of my worst mistake on my worst day. And I muddy the waters with a lot of self-seeking behaviors. But basically, I am continuing because I've still got alcoholism. And because nothing out there can fix me. I would like to have thought that once alcohol and all the other things were out of the way, that everything was going to be great. But that was not the case for me. I am a real alcoholic. Abstaining from substances was just the ticket to the ride for me. the real ride appears for me here in 10, 11, and 12. 10 because it comprises 4 through 9. 11 because I'm continuing to work on my relationship with power, which lack of power is my dilemma. So this is going to be a big deal for me. And then 12 because I'm going to go out and I'm going to carry the message and I'm going to live by these principles. It is not an overnight matter. It's going to continue for my lifetime. I am always going to have this. I am always going to have the bondage of self. I am selfish. I want it my way. I am self-seeking. I'm an excessive attention getter. I am self-indulgent. I think I'm entitled. I'm self-pitying. I'm a victim. It's your fault. You need to change so that I can be okay. It's self, self, self. I wake up every day covered in me. And everything that goes wrong in the day, although I want to believe it's because of you, the truth is it's always a me on me crime. So I dig into this 10th step. I thought for years that the only reason that I needed to do 10th steps, and I don't think anybody ever told me this, I just somehow picked this up in the rooms, was the only time I need to do a 10th step is if I owed somebody an amends. And I mean, I'm the kind of person that walks around thinking that the whole world is a round hole and I'm a square peg and the only tool I need to get through life is a bigger hammer. So I'm just hammering away all the time, trying to get my way, trying to make things work out so that I can be at ease and comfort. And you get in my way. You are the problem. So I do 10 steps now every single day. I am a person with a big ego. I've got a big mouth. I get myself into trouble all the time. And it doesn't necessarily involve, I owe somebody an amends or there's a corrective measure that needs to be taken. Because a lot of times it's just the battlefield up here in my control tower where I am very busy taking your inventory and figuring out what needs to change in the world so that I can be okay. And this tells me that I need to grow in understanding and effectiveness. That doesn't sound like maintenance to me. What that sounds like is I cannot stay clean today on yesterday's shower. Yeah. I wake up untreated every single day. I need to grow. I don't want this to be it. I don't want to be, although I kind of want to be the smartest kid in the classroom. I don't want to be the most sober person in the room. I want to learn. I want to grow. I need to. If I spend my life living out everything I think I know and everything that I've already experienced, where is the miracle in that? Mm. I mean, yeah, it's cool that I'm not drinking and I'm not using other substances, but the rocketed into the fourth dimension part, that comes in a relationship with power. That comes in a relationship with a higher power, with the God of my understanding. So it tells me that every day, there'd be no step 10 if every single day I was not going to stumble into selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And I do. I have a baseline selfishness that I've got a script. I wake up, I've got a script. This is what's supposed to happen today. The dishonesty is if it doesn't go the way I think it's supposed to, there's a problem. Then I'm going to make it worse because I'm going to have to do something about it. And then the fear underneath of it all is if I'm not in control, if it doesn't go my way, terrible things will befall me. If I don't get my way, my life is going to suck. So about a month ago, I got myself into big trouble at work. I have always been very vague with money, especially other people's money. and I have joked many times about abusing my expense account. I have even within the past 90 days joked that, well, Bill Wilson abused his expense account. I'm in good company. So I'm couching this in very gentle terms. The real term that got used in this conversation a month ago was embezzled. That's right. And you did hear me say that tomorrow is my 29th AA anniversary. So I have not become as white as snow. And what I was telling myself all along was it was no big deal. My boss has a lot of money. He sees the bills every month. If he had a problem, he would say something. And maybe that's all true. That may be true, but it never went out of my mind that I was doing this. So on that night, a month ago, 5 weeks ago, I was told that I could quit my job and just walk away, or I could stay and do my job and sign a letter of restitution. And they would take money out of my paycheck every week for years and I would pay back the money. And it never once occurred to me to quit and walk away. Didn't even come into my head. I mean, God had to have had a hold of me, because how dumb am I that I'm not going to just walk away? But that never occurred to me. But then there was Monday morning and I had to go in there and I had to know that my boss, who I love, who loves me, felt deeply betrayed and hurt, and that other people were now going to have to work overtime going through years of my extremely creative accounting practices to figure out what I had done. And I didn't think I was going to be able to do that. It happened on a Saturday night. There was a Monday morning. And so what I have done for the past 5 weeks, Monday through Friday, between 9 and 10 a.m., work starts at 10, is I get on the phone with my sponsor. And every resentment, every fear, every harm that has occurred within the past 24 hours, I go through it. Today, the resentment was the bookkeeper, whose life has become hell as a result of me, by the way, did not say have a good afternoon to me when I said have a good afternoon to her. And so the resentment was she didn't respond in kind. This affects my self-esteem. I am the greatest employee that ever lived. Well, obviously, that's not true. This affects my ambitions. I want everyone to love me. Well, that's another load of crap. Who loves me that I've just done this? And they probably all want me to be fired, but I'm not getting fired. And they got to deal with it. This affects my pride. Others should see me as a wonderful person. Particularly people in AA should see me as a wonderful person. This affects my security. No one should have the ability to make me feel bad enough that I walk off the job, or that they have enough influence that they could get me fired from my job. Underneath all of this is the raging fear that I'm a piece of crap. I'm a piece of crap. I've done horrible things. I've lied about the things that I've done. I've covered up. Maybe there'll be a problem with the IRS. Maybe there'll be this. Maybe there'll be that. And all these people have to come to work every day knowing that my boss refused to fire me. And I have to go to work every day in the humility that, I mean, I was the kid that if my parents ever said, you can be spanked or you can go on restriction, I said, spank me, beat the crap out of me, because it's done in moments. It's over. But having to show up every day and be responsible and do the right thing, and not just do the right thing, but live in love and tolerance is our code. Now, if I weren't the one that was in trouble, I would tell you that it really should be fairness is our code. But sometimes I don't really care too much about the rules unless they're benefiting me. But love and tolerance is our code. So how do I show up in a hostile environment? And it's not hostile because of them. It's hostile because of me. And do the right thing every single day. And this 10th step has saved me every single day. It's steps 4 through 9. So I inventory where I am. I say the sick man's prayer. So-and-so are spiritually sick, spiritually developing human beings just like me. God, please help me to show blah, 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 the same pity, tolerance, and patience I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. I just told you where I was selfish, dishonest, resentful, and afraid. So then I move on to the fear. I am afraid that I will be humiliated. I am afraid that I will be fired. I am afraid I won't be able to support myself. I am afraid that I'll be all alone out on the edge of the universe because no one will love me or accept me when they find out about this thing that I've done. Why do I have this fear? Because I'm relying on my finite power. Everything I think I know about what this means. And that's one of my greatest dishonesties is I look at what you're all doing and I look at what I'm doing and I'm sure I know what it all means. I know what it means. So I'm relying on finite self, my own power to make it right, which is very weak at this time. I can tell you 5 weeks going in every single day and doing my best. It is not easy. And I'm doing it. I'm not on my own power. On my own power, I would have decided to take an early retirement. I'd be laying in bed with some bad man and a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. There would be no going back to work facing this down. It is hot, but I wouldn't be doing it. I don't have that much character, obviously. I would not be showing up every day. So I asked myself, does self-reliance work? No, self-reliance does not work. I got into this because of self-reliance. I started giving myself perks and extra money in the expense account because in my head, I work all the time and nobody appreciates me. I never get paid overtime. Nobody notices all the extra work I do. Nobody knows how good I am for this company, blah, 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 blah. All of that stuff, none of which anyone ever said. I just decided all those things. And so I decided the way that I was going to compensate myself for this, for these harsh conditions, which are not harsh conditions. I actually have a very cushy job. But the way that I decided was to use money that wasn't mine to use. So self-reliance has not worked. Self-reliance is what got me here. Self-reliance is not going to fix me. And then I ask myself, am I looking to a person, place, or thing for the same, for the connection, direction, security, and self-worth that I can only, because that's really what's at the bottom of all my resentments. I think it's your job and the material circumstances around me to give me connection, to give me direction, to put me in a place of ultimate security. I want guarantees written in blood and etched in stone, and to give me self-worth. I think all of those are mine and it's your job to give them to me, but you can't because you're human just like I am. You're developing just like I am. Only God can give me those things. So I ask God to remove my fear and direct my attention to what he would have me be. What would God have me be? Well, obviously the opposite of what I am, honest, loving, tolerant, but also what he would have me be is what I already am, secure, safe, cared for, because my boss is not really my employer. The big book tells me that God is my employer. And until further notice from the job that I should have quit and the job that I certainly should have been fired from, I'm supposed to be there every single day. I'm supposed to walk in and make things easy for the people around me. None of this is because I am a virtuous person. I'm not. I'm way more of a devil than I am an angel. But I'm walking in there every day and doing it because I do this work to keep clearing away what blocks me from the power that I need to live, that I need to stay away from a drink, that I need to stay out of the bondage of self. This step 10 work changes everything. I think that's all I have to say for now.
Thanks.
Thanks for sharing what she said. My name is Ariana Morell, alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 27, 2009. I have a home group. It's A101. It meets Sundays at 11 o'clock at Norfolk Sentara Hospital. We've taken down, we don't have to wear masks anymore. So I just found out that the pandemic is officially over. So I have no more excuses to hide in my house anymore. See, that is where I need to learn, continue to take my inventory. I have a home group. I have the, in that home group, I have a service commitment. And in that service, I also work with other people and I work on different committees throughout AA. I am just honored to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, be alive, because I'm supposed to be dead. I'm a guy who likes to drink. I like the effect that's produced by alcohol. I like what it does to me. And for me, you know what I mean? It changes the way I feel. I'm not good enough. I am good enough. Be my friend. Don't be my friend. Get close. Don't get too close. I like you. I don't like you. Oh my God. Like, I like that. That happens at once by taking a few drinks. A few drinks that the others take it with impunity, as it says in the book, which I didn't know what that meant. Like, because I'm a judger, right? So if you're doing it easily, then I think I'm definitely doing it easily and it's good for me, just as it's good for you, right? And then I think I'm doing it better than you. So I seek out people who drink the way I drink, you know, like those people who have one beer and then they're like, I'm done. I don't know who you are, but you got to get out of my face. I need somebody, you know what I mean? I need somebody who's going to drink the way I drink. And you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm looking for. And then when I tried to stop on my own, I could not stop. I tried many different ways. I tried changing my brand. I tried changing my places, my people. I tried sake. I thought was going to be a real answer for me, but it never, none of that worked. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember the first time I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't about to do your steps because that's just stupid, right? Why are we going to do those things? Let's just sit here. I'm smart enough. Let's figure it out. So. But I mean, I was crying at my first meeting in pain. Like I didn't, you know, I was crying, that blubber, snot cry. And I remember like, I was like, all right, I'm going to do what they tell me to do. And of course my will comes back. My will comes back really quickly. Right. So they're like, fine, get a book. So I got a book and I put it on a shelf because that's where they belong, on the shelves, because they're pretty on shelves. Who reads book? Right. I don't know. Anyway. And then I was like, all right, let's get a sponsor. I'm like, hold on. Let me look at the right person because I'm judgmental, right? I don't want to be seen with the wrong person. You know what I mean? Like who I am is super important. So you're not cool enough. You haven't looked in the mirror in 20 years. Oh my God. What are you wearing? Oh my God. You play the piano. I sing. Let's call that sponsorship. I did that for like 2 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. That was what I continued to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. I continue to do that all the time. Sing. And he played the piano and we did nothing else. And I promise eventually I got drunk again. And I woke up in my favorite place, that cool, cold place next to it. I love that place. I don't know, but I love that place. And then I came back crawling back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember I was only willing to do the 8 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Eight steps is a good place to be. 8 steps got me wanting to kill myself. I don't know, but I was in Portland. I was like, I'm coming home because I'm so important. I didn't even call my mama. I'm coming home on a train, right? So I come back. I'm ready to arrive in Richmond. I take a bunch of pills. I wake up in Hampton in a hospital. I didn't even do that right. You know what I mean? And then they like take me to this Cuckoo for Cocoa Puff place. And I went there. And then I was like, all right, God, what is there? So, you know, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I held my head down and I walked around. I only answered people yes, no, and maybe. I don't know if anybody knows what that means. Like if you made me laugh, I was going to get drunk. If you made me cry, I was going to get drunk. If you made me mad, I was about to get drunk. You know what I mean? Like, so I couldn't answer or look people in the eyes. And that's how I walked around alcohol until I started going through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which changed my complete and utter life. You know, like this step is a doozy. Everyone says it's like four through 10. I think it's 3 through 10. Cause unless I'm willing, I'm not going to do an inventory at all. I'm never going to touch an inventory. I forget to call my sponsor. My sponsor called me like a week ago and I was like, mute and because I don't want to do nope, not gonna happen, right? Because I'm not ready to do the inventory. Like my life, you know, and I've discovered that like I am a guy who's like I'm gung-ho. I'm like, let's do 10, let's continue to do that inventory, let's do it. And like some things in my life has happened, and I had one of my sponsees die overdose of heroin, and then another guy died, and then you know my best friend's sister from high school, she died at 42 years, just didn't wake up, died. Right. And then I needed some ease and comfort. Right. So I found this person right on this app called Grindr, in case y'all were looking. Anyway. So, right. And we had this recipe, we had this idea, right, of what this was supposed to look like. Our relationship should look like this. Right. And I'm like, we're just going to have some fun. And that's what we were going to do. Right. And we were having some fun. And then I just didn't, there was something about it that didn't make sense. Right. And so I like broke up, and then they were paying attention to my like code to get in the house. And then I came home, I'm about to get ready to go to a wedding, and my television's gone, my computer's gone, you know, money's gone, like everything, like they hit me hard, right? And then I'm like, all right, I don't want to do this of being of service. I'm tired of helping people. I'm scared to death. This guy allowed this young man to steal my love. And why? Because I was afraid. Full of fear. I mean, like I had to write it down earlier. So I was like, he messed with my self-esteem, you know, my security, my personal, you know, and my ambitions of safety, you know, my personal and my sex relationships with people. And I mean, like this was completely, you know, and where was I selfish? I knew that I wanted more than just a little fun, but I thought ease and comfort was unwilling to do the inventory. Unwilling to look at the truth behind everything that's going on in my life. So I set myself up. Where was I dishonest? Dishonest with myself and with him about what I really, really want. I never see that, you know, like living in it. But like right here in this moment, I've been completely dishonest about what I really wanted. You know, and then my self-seeking, of course. I want to feel better now. Poor me. Pour me what? Another drink is what I was looking for. And I was frightened. I'm frightened. Of course, I'm always frightened. I'm not good enough. No one's going to love me. I'm getting way too old. Look at me. For God's sakes, I'm a mess. You know what I mean? I can't shut my mouth up. I always say what's on my mind. You know what I mean? Like, I'm frightened that no one's going to like the truth about who I am. But you know what? The funny part about it is I've been unwilling to do that simple row of things. Why? Because it's easy. I have a mind that wants me to constantly. You know, I continually do this inventory. I continuously do this stuff. I continuously turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand them, because I want to live, but I don't always choose to take the actions. You know, that's the difference. I love that in here he says, we have entered the world of the spirit, You know, like it's absolutely utterly funny. You know, like I think about all the things that have happened to lead me to this exact moment, right? And so what's led me to this moment, like I've had phone calls, I've had people all, like sponsees have all returned all of a sudden. I've had three sponsees all of a sudden return. So I actually have to show up. Like all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden you're like, we're going to talk about step 10. I remember going, what? And then I was like, I'll just show up. Don't worry about it. And then this morning I'm like, oh, thank you, God. I guess I'm going to do some inventory. I mean, like this world of the spirit for me, I've discovered is like, no matter, as long as I do the actions, if I'm willing to take the listen, God always puts me in the right direction. I love where it says here, our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. But I always think that's like about that growing in understanding and effectiveness, that effectiveness of like being a better human being. No, it's about being a more humble human being for myself, that effectiveness so God can actually use me as that conduit of love, tolerance, patience, and kindness, the effectiveness that God can actually put me in the right place, the effectiveness that my head is so just a little bit out of my rear that I can actually hear enough of what God has to hear so that I can take the next right action. I love that it says here, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment and fear. When these crop up, we ask God. We don't ask Iran to go hide out in his apartment and clean it. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what I was doing. I was going to work and then I would go home and I would just vacuum for, I was like, I vac, that carpet is so clean. I swear to God, like the carpet, the everything, the wallpaper, I don't even have wallpaper, but everything is clean. You know what I mean? Like I spent hours sitting in the house. I didn't watch Netflix. I was like, no, if you sit down, then you're in trouble, just clean. But I'm all like, we don't ask Iran what it comes, because Iran's good solution for this problem is, let's just take one for, you know what I mean? And then I love this one where it says, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Love and tolerance. You know, like I think about that a lot, like, especially when I'm doing Alcoholics Anonymous, when I'm actually doing 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm willing to do, all right, God. You know, the funny thing about this whole thing is like, when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wanted to be perfect, right? Then I wanted to be a gentleman. That didn't happen. You know what I mean? And then what I really wanted to be at the end of the day was just good enough. Can it just be good enough to like not drink today? But I'm way more than those things, right? Those love and tolerance of others. When I love and tolerate other people, that love and tolerance that I'm looking for myself just returns. That selfish is not good enough times just returns. I feel stronger. Like people, like all the things that I'm looking for when I'm busy thinking about you just returns to me. It puts me right foot, willing to do the next right thing. I love, and this last thing I have written here, what I did today, who am I out? What is our code? And then it says, what is our code? And then it says 14, the 14th column. The fourth column is the fourth column. That's my code. Because if I'm looking for my selfishness, if I'm looking for my dishonesty, if I'm looking for my self-seeking and my frightened, then I'm looking for, if I'm looking in that column right there about what the truth is about me, and then I take that action and I automatically start resolutely turning my thoughts to other. I resolutely start looking for love and tolerance. I resolutely want to be like, how can I help you? What can I do for you today? You know what I mean? Like, and that is when I'm looking in that column. But as long as I'm not looking in that column, I love my sponsor. He says this thing like, you know, we can find the first two columns in any bar stool around the country. You know what I mean? I can go what you did to me and why you did it. I can find that anywhere. Go to bar right now. You find one and two everywhere. You won't find three and four nowhere. That's where 5, 3, and 4 is in here. This is where the solution is for a guy like me. If I don't want to drink, I find that solution.
Thank you. Thank you both. Right. Our next reading is going to also be on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Amy.
So keeping in fit spiritual condition for me is cleaning it up every single day, no matter how many times it has to be done. When I finish fifth stepping all those columns and the fear and the harms that I've done, I take a look at what character defects am I in. In this situation, I'm in pride and greed. And then who have I harmed? How am I going to make amends? And the amends in this situation was, they're going to take this money out of my paycheck every week. But also the corrective measures are, I'm going to show up with love and tolerance. I'm going to show up and give my best. I'm not going to be sullen. I'm not going to be injured or victim-y. You know, I victimize them. You know, it's they're not taking the money from me. I'm actually giving back what's theirs. So I show up every day and I do the best that I can. I live in love and tolerance. And then there are more corrective measures, because what got me here in the first place, what got me here in the first place was the thinking that I can't ask for overtime, or I can't explain all of the things that I do off the clock that make a difference to my workplace and ask to be paid for them. I'm afraid to say, this is what I'm worth. This is what I'm doing. This is what I would like in return. So all of that stuff is a part of the corrective measures. Leaving when it's time to leave, showing up when I'm supposed to show up, saying no when I need to say no. So it's not just a matter of pay back the money, do the restitution, show up and do my job. It's about allowing God to transform me so I can show up as someone different. I can't make myself be different. I'd like to be different. I'd like to not be an alcoholic, but I am. I cannot make my character defects go away any easier than I can make my alcoholism go away. So I take a look at my pride and my greed. I've got the amends. I walk out the amends. And then I have to continue to stay clean. I have to continue to live out these spiritual principles. And for somebody like me, that is not so easy. I mean, I decided somewhere along the line as a young person that life is not fair. Love is always conditional. Don't let people see you sweat. It's a hostile world out there. I need to fight, always be fighting and struggling to get my way. If I don't get my way, it means something's wrong. If it's painful, it means something's wrong. So I grew up with all of these beliefs and never even took a look at them to determine whether they were true or whether they were effective. So I've been living with all these false ideas that keep ambushing me into fear, that activate all of these character defects that make me a fighter. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone. That's like the exact opposite of who I am. Another one of my beliefs is nothing worth having is easy to get. There's got to be a struggle. There's got to be a fight. I got paid attention as a child, too, as a child when I was arguing, and particularly when I was arguing effectively and loudly. And maybe I was right, or maybe they just wanted to shut me up, but I got my way. So I dragged a lot of these things that I learned in childhood into my adult life, and it doesn't work anymore. So how do I become this person who knows peace, who knows that no matter how far down the scale I've gone, that that my experience will benefit others? A beautiful thing happened. I started telling my sponsor, my sponsees, the people in my God squad, I told everybody what trouble I was in and what I had done, because I just couldn't keep it to myself. It was too much. In fact, I called somebody, Elizabeth, and said, can you please be at my house when I leave this meeting? And she said, yeah, I don't think this is going to be good. And, I mean, I was still hoping it wasn't going to be that. But anyway, I let people know. My old belief is don't let people see you sweat. Don't let anyone know you're vulnerable, because they'll take advantage of your vulnerability. But how does that square with the God of my understanding is my employer, is my father? I'm a child that can't get my own needs met, is the director. I'm an actor that needs to be handed the lines, needs to be told where to stand and what to wear. I'm the agent. I have to represent somebody else. I can't even represent myself accurately. How does all that square if I have to fight every day, if I have to struggle every day? So I tell everybody the truth. Not one single person said, Amy, you devil. I cannot be friends with you anymore. In fact, what every single person, even the people that I didn't think liked me that much, every single person, there's probably more of them that I stay off of. Every single person said, I love you. I can't believe how much courage you have. I can't believe you're going to show up every day and you're going to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And God expresses himself in a group conscience, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So the group conscience around me showed me that the God of my understanding is all love, all tolerance, all grace, and all mercy. I could have been fired. I could have gone to jail. I could have had all kinds of things happen. And the money that they're taking out of my paycheck is almost exactly equal to the massive raise that I got in December, just a few months ago. They didn't take away my raise. They didn't take away my even more massive bonus. They're taking the money that I owe them, and it's just a little bit more than the raise that I just got a few months. I landed in the strawberry patch. That is what changes me. I did.
Yeah.
I do not get what I deserve. I live better than I deserve every single day. And that's what transforms me. My old belief was that if I lashed myself hard enough, or if you lashed me hard enough, that I would change. That's not the truth. I mean, great suffering probably does bring about transformation, but in here, in these rooms, what brings about this great transformation is love, a love that I don't think I deserve from a God that I can't see. And I'm not even always sure about all the time, but that's all that I got was love. And that love and that grace is what produces this kind of change. I know I'm reading the 9-step promises instead of the 10-step promises, but it doesn't matter. The 10-step ones are better. I don't know how I switched onto the wrong page. Doesn't matter. I'm transforming because of the love of the people in these rooms, the acceptance of the people in, and added benefit. Somebody called me on the very day that I found, on the very day after I found out about this, and said that they had taken more than $100,000 out of an estate that they were the executor of. And that person ended up being one of my sponsors. And I had another sponsor say to me, you know what? I'll never be afraid to come tell you anything. I mean, I'm kind of a devil. Yeah. You don't have to be embarrassed coming to tell me anything at all. I have no moral high ground to stand on. It doesn't matter how long I've been sober. Doesn't matter how many people I've sponsored. It doesn't matter. I'm one of God's kids, just like you are. And today I have the exact same serving of love and grace that you do. Even if you're a pastor and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father and you go on your way rejoicing every day. I don't know the people who like just turned into wonderful human beings when they got sober. I am not one of them, but nobody has to be afraid to come tell me anything at all. And that is how love has a ripple effect.
Yes.
That is how God fills a room. That is how people who are out on the street shucking and jiving and dipsy doodling, whatever kind of crap, everybody's pulling it too. That is why it's okay to walk back into this room, into the place that will save my life. I need to be able to know that there is a place where I can tell you anything at all. And I really am still going to be, you are teaching me who God is. Mm-hmm. And that is how I get transformed. And these promises do come true. That's all.
Thank you for sharing. Dipsy doodle.
I don't know.
That was fantastic.
I don't know.
All right. I love you. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. 98% of the time. And then, you know, I'm a human being. I think that's the catch, right? I am the most humbling thing I've ever learned in Alcoholics Anonymous is that I'm a human being. I'm not the God I ran that came in here, you know, like all powerful, all wonderful. Oh, I'm going to do everything and be better than everybody at it. And I'm just a human being, another human, dry, drunk. You know what I mean? Like simple person who likes the effect produced. And that's humbling by itself. But then I love this line right here is We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Neutral, right? Like Switzerland. Is that what you say? Right. So like, we're not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like drinking. I don't feel like not drinking. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm not thinking about, I'm okay. But here's the catcher. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. That is how we react so long. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition, right? Inventory, prayer, and service is what I have written beside it, right? What? How do I stay there? Because, you know, life works calling my name, right? Then I'm trying to date someone. I got some bills to pay. I like, oh, there's a concert I want to go to. Like, you want me to go to a meeting? I don't got time. You know, life gets really busy and exciting when I've been sober for a minute, right? Like life gets really good. So how do I stay in that fit spirit? You could say, I think if I like just did, you know, that what it says in the book, I'd be fine. But I find that if I'm not connected with you, I'm not fit. If I'm not connected with another alcohol, like I am totally not. I will scratch your eyes out. You know what I mean? Like I will choke you. Because what I've discovered is it's not just the inventory. It's not just the prayer. It's not service. It's not all. It is about being reminded every day, humbly reminded that once I start, I cannot stop. And I got a mind that will constantly get me drunk. All right, let me check on that inventory. Oh my God, you know what? I haven't been of service to anyone today. You know what the truth is? I don't even want to call you. Let me not answer my phone for a day. I will tell you, I will be talking to the spider webs. Like, and those are fantastic because I'm cleaning them. My life is spit. Yeah, you know, like my life is really spit. Trying to find other reasons to not do alcohol. It really is trying to find other reasons to not be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's trying to find other reasons to not be of service to you so I could be of service to myself. It is really trying to find a lot of reasons to just not be here. And, you know, like when, if you're new, first of all, let me take this. If you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous and you're like inventory, prayer, service, this 10 step, God, like sit down and relax. Hold on. All right. It's not that bad. First of all, we're all just Garberry drunks. We like the way alcohol does, right? And once I tried to stop on my own, it did not work. You know, and I, my fit spiritual condition when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous was a bottle of Jägermeister with some 151 chaser. You know what I'm saying? Like that was fit spiritual condition. And you know what that did for me? Tried to make me kill myself because I didn't like the way I felt and it couldn't do anything for me for very long. And then I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. You guys were big on God, 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 God. And I was like, God, shut up. Like, is there something else? There's gotta be something else, right? I'm like, I'm a gay black man. I'm already going to hell. God doesn't like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I got it. And I'm like, but you know, you guys show me a God of my understanding, right? And you guys show me a way to get to a God of my understanding, right? But it was through the inventory. It was the constant. It wasn't like I didn't have to figure out God in step 3. I'd have to figure out God in step 11. I didn't have to figure out God in step 12, 1 through 7, 18. You know what I mean? Like I didn't find God in the 13th step. I didn't know God. You know what I'm saying? Like I did not have to, like, I don't have to figure God out at any point. That's the one thing that was amazing about Alcoholics Anonymous. I got to find, and that was what really, that's the development of that fit spiritual. And I think like when I say fit spiritual condition, I think about like people who work out, right? When people go to the gym, they get fit, right? And they like, are like, I'm going to work on my glutes today and I'm going to work today. Is that right? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. What happened? I was like, that doesn't even seem right. But the chest, they work on these, all these parts of their body, but they don't do it all at one time. You know, they work on their different parts of the body every single day. They put themselves in fit condition by working on something every single day. And I think it's got to be perfection when I get it, right? But no, some days I'm really good at being in service. Some days I'm really good at being on these steps. And some days I'm really good at just showing up. And some days I'm really good at being miserable and being vulnerable to other human beings. And some days I've got all of that together. And that is the fit spiritual condition that keeps me here in Alabama. That is the fit spiritual condition that keeps me connected to you guys. And that is the thing that reminds me that I am humbly human and allowed to be flawed and imperfect. And I don't have to do this right every single day. I just have to do it. Thanks. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you both. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to group these last two readings together, and each of you all do about four minutes.
Oh, us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Starting on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. And the final reading. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. Amy.
One of my favorite lines in the big book is Dr. Bob's nightmare. What he says is, my whole life seemed to be centered around doing what I wanted to do without regard for the rights, wishes, or privileges of anyone else. Mm. A state of mind which became more and more predominant as the years passed. I am not going to rely on myself to live on a spiritual basis. I involve as many people in my daily walk as I can. I talk to a sponsor every day. I talk to sponsees every day. I'm in the book every day. I go to a meeting every day. I send out gems and gratitudes to a whole group of people. And at some point during the day, somebody will send something back to me. I want to involve as many of you to help me stay connected as God, because what I am is basically selfish. I have a rapidly rebuilding ego. And although step 10 is not a fix to my feelings, it is the way that I can get unblocked from the power by which I need to live. Maybe it's not going to make me feel better, but it's going to clear away what's blocking me from that power. I want as many people to be involved with that, with me in that endeavor as possible. Because left to my own devices, I'll be raping and pillaging. Honestly, it'll build up in me. I'll take you down. If you're in my way, you better just move. Because that is still alive inside of me. My ego rebuilds quickly. One day I'm on my knees, I'm crying, I'm begging God, please save me, please help me, please, I'll do whatever. 2 days later, I'm feeling kind of good. I forget that the reason I'm feeling good is because the God of my understanding is filled with grace and love. I think I'm doing pretty good because I'm good. And when I think I've got it, that's when I'm about to start losing it. There is no, I have arrived. Step 10 is a beautiful way to let the birds fly in my head and not build a nest, so that I am blocked from my true self, from you, and from God. I make sure that I talk to recovered people. I don't call people every day with my 10th step who are going to indulge me in, yeah, he's an asshole. Yeah, I can't believe yes. that happened. Blah, 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 blah. Now, I do like getting into that sometimes because I feel better when they look crappy. But the truth of the matter is, yes. I need somebody on the other end of the phone who says, your ego is sliding right back into the story of that thing.
Mm.
That doesn't sound like an inventory to me. That sounds like a story you made up about the events. Let's get back to you. I need the people in my life who I am willing to hear the bad news about me. The sponsors that everybody hates, the fellows that you can't stand around and just shoot the crap with. They're going to talk about the real deal. Those are the people who have saved my life. That is the reason that I'm sober today. That is the reason I didn't get fired from a job that I should have been fired from, and that I show up every day with a smile on my face and I give my best, not because of me, but because you and me and God. That's how it works. That's all I have to say.
Thanks for sharing. All right. Every day is the day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. how can I best serve thee? Like I was sitting here and I was thinking, like, when I read that line, I was thinking of like what I ran, what it looks like when Iran brings Iran's thoughts into the activity. And I was thinking about Bill Story, my favorite line. It's no words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I've been overwhelmed. I had met my match. Alcohol. That's the vision. That's what I bring to myself when I'm not doing alcohol. It's when I'm not continuously doing what we do here in alcohol. I'm all like, my sponsor would tell you, like, let's run it through the mill. Let's run it through the mill and see what comes out on the other side. And I never want to see what comes out on the other side because it's always the same thing. I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. But I love this line, thy will, not mine, be done. If I'm not selfish, self-seeking, and frightened, then I never grow. If I'm not selfish, self-seeking, and frightened, and full of fear, I'll never try to do this thing. If I was perfectly okay, there'll be no reason for me to sit in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I am full of fear. And it wears a different hat all the time. And the only way I can see that hat is by doing this. And I love that it says, these thoughts must go with us constantly. And I have written, what thoughts must go with us constantly? And it's that simple one. Every day is the day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. And it's not about, I think I have a vision. It's like, what is God's vision for me to be loving, tolerant? If I carry that into all my activities, the rest of the day is none of my business. The rest of my life or that moment is, am I carrying God's will with me in this moment? Am I remembering that if you're new, please find someone who's properly armed with the facts about this. This means that they know that once they start, they cannot stop, and they have a mind that will constantly get them drunk, who's willing to take you through the steps of alcohol, which I have found to be in this book called Alcoholics. And don't sit around and do something. Most people don't come to Alcoholics Anonymous. People die here and will live. Choose which one you.
Let's thank our panelists. All right. Thank you both. We're going to pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, word about safety, our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements, are there any AA related?
Hey, John. Hey, Ben.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Is it free? Let's eat it.
Hey, Mac. Then Steve, then Iran.
Hi, Elizabeth.
I've been talking for an hour. Yes.
Beautiful flyers right here to my left, your right. Steve?
I'm Steve Alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
Index and driver. Most of this next Friday we had in the last Friday, the burial mortgage. Well, that's the best place I
you need it.
Fantastic. That's Iran still alcoholic. My home group. A101 is having their half anniversary, half measures avail us nothing, on July the 30th. We'll have a panel. Come and see us. There will be bacon, in case you were wondering, bacon. And one more time, bacon.
Who's
bacon?
Talking? Bacon.
It's a panel.
Who's on the
panel? I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
We'll talk about it later. Well,
thank you.
I just want to get you
one. That's warm. July 30th, correct?
That's correct.
Perfect.
Yes, awesome. Yes. And bacon.
And bacon.
We don't have a panel.
Any other announcements? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands.
Ooh, strong.
Right. Point out that literature is available. I'm pointing out that literature is available to my left.
Fantastic.
Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a book. If you can fold it, it's for sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk. If you're shy, you can always send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, please, smokers, please use the butt can provided and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Cafe Stella, which is on Colonial Avenue. You go out this way, turn left. It's right next to Kogan's on your left-hand side, across from Bank of America.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. In closing, our panel one more time.